and starring Carrie Lawler, Leslie Uzak, and Carolyn Recker, and directed by Jim Clayton.
Okay.
Algie, will you please stop that with your tea? I'm unable to concentrate on this article.
Well, sorry, dear, but your tea is so delicious that one is prone to slurp. What are you reading?
I'm reading the latest article in the Union newsletter, The Codependent.
Yes, then, what the cock are they up to these days?
Do you know the open enrollment period is coming up for our medical insurance?
Really?
Yes, really, and I think we should make a change.
Well, as you wish, dear.
Are you implying that our current plan suffices?
Well, it's a lot less expensive than our previous plan.
Of course it's less expensive. There are no premiums.
Yes, dear. Low premiums are the key.
Not low premiums. No premiums. Are you listening to me?
I always listen to you.
And do you remember why there were no premiums?
I believe we signed up for my union's new faith-based medical plan.
A plan with no doctors, no prescription drug plan, no hospitals.
I thought we should try something different.
Different? Who ever heard of the Christian Science Medical Plan?
Well, that probably was a tad short-sighted.
Short-sighted? How about blind?
Well, it did have one benefit.
And what was that?
We had free access to every Christian Science reading room in the world.
That was the stupidest idea you've ever had, Algie.
Not actually, my dear.
What was?
Careful, dear.
What?
You almost knocked over your favorite tea kettle.
I was nowhere near my tea kettle.
I must have been looking at it from an unusual angle.
When did you last have your eyes checked?
An excellent idea, dear. I'll make an appointment today.
And I hope our medical plan pays for it. What was that plan you had us in before the CSMP?
Oh, that one.
Yes, that one. Black Cross, Black Shield. You do remember that one.
Of course I remember it. You remind me of it every day.
And, well, I should. I would certainly be suspicious of an organization that sounded like a plan formulated during the bubonic plague.
Well, it was inexpensive.
Of course it was inexpensive. Because you could only insure certain parts of your body which you had to stipulate ahead of time.
Well, they were going to let you insure parts after the fact, dear.
And you insured your brain and your big toe.
I consider my brain the most vital organ in my body.
And your big toe?
You know I suffer from RTS.
What's RTS?
Restless toe syndrome.
And as I recall, they accepted your toe and rejected your brain as a pre-existing medical condition beyond repair.
I don't remember that.
Well, I do. They said that any organ you insure must be in working condition. And their dental plan was a sham.
Oh, now that's a tad far-fetched, Sybil, dear.
You could only insure your upper teeth or your lower teeth, not both. Really, Algie, your medical decisions fall under...
Whatever you say, my dear, and this is precisely why I'm going to allow you to select our medical plan this year.
And you insisted on insuring your wisdom teeth and nothing else. Was that wise? Please, don't answer that.
Sybil, dear, would you please get the mobile?
Can't you get it?
If I could, I would, but I'm on my way to the water closet. Oh, by the way, Sybil, there's a message on the mobile from your mom.
Mommy called? Well, if you heard the message, why didn't you pick up the mobile? I always pick it up when it rings.
Well, I don't. I wait to see who's on the blower.
But why? It's just as easy to pick it up.
Not if it's your mom.
And it's mommy, not mom. You know how I hate it when you call my mummy mum.
Yes, Mum. I mean, yes, dear.
What did Mummy say?
I didn't listen.
You don't like Mummy, do you, Algie? In fact, you'd never like to have you. Why don't you just admit it?
Quite right, my dear.
I knew it. From the very beginning, you've never taken to her. Not liking an old, helpless woman like Mummy. You should be ashamed of yourself, Algie.
She is definitely old, but she is not helpless.
See? Up, Algie. I can barely hear you. Not what?
Helpless. Your mom is not helpless.
You don't have to shout. I can hear you.
Your mom is not helpless.
Yes, yes, so you said. But just tell me when this began, this disliking my mummy.
Well, let's see. I think it began on our honeymoon.
Our honeymoon?
Have you forgotten? You insisted we bring her along on our honeymoon.
Oh, that. I hate when you bring up things from the past.
Well, I can't bring up things from the future, dear.
And you did agree.
That was the second biggest mistake of my life.
What was the first?
The point is, Sybil, is your mom and I just don't get on. She never liked me from the moment she set eyes on me.
Your memory needs some recharging, my dear. My mother did not like you because you began using profane language the first time you rang me up.
I've explained all of that on numerous occasions. I did not know your mom was on the line. You and your mom sound just alike on the mobile. I thought I was talking to you.
A likely story, Algernon Brickerson. You've probably also forgotten the comment you made to her after last Easter, haven't you?
And what comment was that?
What comment? The comment when you so politely referred to Mummy as the axis of evil.
Oh, that.
Yes, Algy, that.
In retrospect, that was an understatement.
A what? Will you please speak up and stop your mumbling?
I said that my undergarments are in a state.
Well, buy some new ones or wash the ones you've got. Don't tell me about it. Algy, please, press the mobile message from Mummy. I don't want to get up. And I know she plans a visit soon. I just don't remember the exact date.
She was just here.
That was over a year ago.
Yeah, it seems like yesterday.
Algy, before you walk off, press the message button.
Sorry, dear. I'm in the WC.
My word, Algy. I thought you just got out of the WC. You're either going in or coming out of the WC. What do you do in there?
You don't want to know.
I'm not going to play this game again.
Hello, Sybil, dear. It's your mummy. I hope you remember me because I've not heard from you lately. As I informed you when we last spoke, I will be visiting this week. Please purchase the British blend tea I prefer because, as you well know, my digestion can only tolerate that particular brand. I also prefer Carr's biscuits with my tea. In addition, if you plan to make my favorite trifle recipe, which you know I'm especially fond of, I only use bird custard. My plane is scheduled to arrive Thursday evening at 7 p.m. sharp. I know how busy you will be preparing for my visit, so why don't you send what's his name to pick me up? Oh, and by the way, you might have to drive up to Woodman's in Wisconsin to get that bird's custard. Oh, but on a nice day, it'll only be a 2 or 3 hour trip. Also, well,
Algy, I just listened to Mummy's message, and guess what?
Oh, she will not be coming for a visit?
No, she is coming, and she said she would love it if you could pick her up at the airport so the two of you could have a few moments to chat and catch up.
Couldn't she fly directly from the airport to our home on her broom?
Algy, sometimes you are so vile.
Yes, dear, vile.
You think Mummy's not fond of you. I think you have a problem with the female sex.
Yes, dear.
So you admit it?
Yes, dear. Guilty as charged.
So how do you intend to confront this serious issue? Have you thought of therapy?
No, but I have thought of a more direct solution.
Well, it's always good when a man takes action, because as we women are well aware of, men are problem solvers. I can't wait to hear your solution.
My solution is that she should be put in a home.
That is completely out of the question. But I am curious. Did you have a particular home in mind?
I understand there are some extraordinary facilities in Australia.
Australia? Well, that's on the other side of the planet.
Yes, that is a bit of a distance.
Oh, I've got the picture. Well, why don't we put your mum in a home, Algy? How would you feel about that?
That is quite impossible, Sybil, dear.
And just why is that impossible?
Because my mummy died last year.
Hello? Hello, he's here, Algy. Mummy and I aren't here.
Hello, Beatrice. So good to see you again.
Aren't you feeling well, Reginald?
Mummy, this is Algernon. Reginald is Algy's brother. They do look alike.
Yes, I'm Algernon. Remember me?
Vaguely. You're the teacher.
Professor.
Really? I thought you were teaching the sixth form.
Algernon's a college professor, Mummy. You remember that?
Part-time?
No, Mummy. He's full-time. Isn't that wonderful?
Really? So what does he teach?
Algy, Mummy wants to know what you teach.
You can tell her that I'm on the faculty of metalinguistics, metaphysics, and metamorphosis.
Did you hear that, Mummy?
Well, of course I heard it. I'm not deaf, you know. But what does it all mean?
Algy, Mummy wants to know what it means.
What means?
The important faculty you're in. What do they do?
Well, I'm still trying to sort that out, dear. One activity we engage in regularly is creating very important committees. Forming important committees is part of our mission statement. And if one is a member of an extremely important committee, it may become a task force.
What is he talking about, Sybil? It all sounds so confusing.
It is confusing, Mummy, but I'm sure Algy will explain it all to you later. Why don't you go sit down right here, and I'll go make a pot of tea.
Oh, it sounds like a bunch of gobbledygook to me. British blend, you know, that's the only tea I drink.
I haven't forgotten, Mummy. British blend it is.
So, Red, Algy, what do you do in your spare time? As I recall, you receive a particular pleasure collecting horses.
No, I'm afraid not, Beatrice. I think you have me confused with my brother, Reggie. He's the fossil collector.
No, I don't think so.
I can assure you, Beatrice, I do not collect fossils.
What do you collect, Algy?
Books.
Books? Really? How very interesting. I hope they're not those pop-up picture books.
Pop-up picture books? My word, Beatrice, I'm a professor at a university.
Well, yes. I was listening to the BBC yesterday, and they mentioned that President Bush's library in Texas was under construction, and I thought I heard the commentator say that the president's library was going to be stocked with the finest collection of pop-up picture books in the world.
Well, I certainly hope that they're first editions.
Well, I have the exact same thought.
By the way, has Sybil mentioned this senior housing development in Australia to you?
Australia? Is that the country with all those wild kangaroos and parading naked natives?
Well, you must be referring to the indigenous Aboriginal people, and they do not parade around in the nude. They happen to live there, and they have a great respect for the land and all of the creatures who inhabit it.
It's only good for them. But I thought it was a penal colony.
Penal colony? My word, Beatrice, it hasn't been a penal colony for over 150 years.
Really? How time flies.
Why don't you take a look at these brochures on Australia? I'll be right back.
Wherever you're going, please tell Sybil I'd like to speak to her immediately and to bring me more tea and to make sure it's hot and that this time she bring the milk with her.
Is that all, Beatrice?
Not for now. I guess that'll be all. And where did you say you were going?
I didn't. But if you must know, I'm on my way to the WC. I'll tell Sybil you want to talk to her.
Oh, and don't forget the hot milk and tea.
Oh, Sybil, dear, wherever you are, your mom wants to see you immediately. It's extremely important.
I'm coming. I've got the tea and milk and... Where are you off to?
The WC. I'll be back in a couple of hours.
You hardly ever see Mummy. I don't see why you can't spend a little more time with her.
Oh, quite right, Sybil, dear, but I plan to spend the rest of the day tracking down rare first editions of pop-up picture books.
What are you mumbling about? The older you get, Algy, the less I understand you.
Yes, well, age does have its advantages.
I want you back out here in 15 minutes.
Anything, of course, dear, anything you say.
Well, were you, Sybil? I feel like I've been sitting here for hours.
It's only been a few minutes, Mummy. I hope that you and Algernon had a nice chat.
Oh, that man can sometimes be so obtuse.
As we get older...
Well, did you know that he suggested I move to a penal colony?
I'm sure you're mistaken. Algy loves you. He would never suggest anything of the sort.
Well, and he told me that National Health would pay for it. He handed me the brochures and just walked out.
He's on his way to the WC.
Well, I wish he had better manners. I hate being left alone. He could have waited until I went up to bed.
Yes, Mummy, I will mention that to him. And I'm sure that Algy mentioned Australia as a place for you to visit. He knows you adore traveling to exotic spots around the globe.
Well, I'm really getting a bit tired of traveling. I was thinking of selling my detached house and... possibly moving in with you.
Oh, what an absolutely splendid idea.
Oh, I thought so, too. Are you okay?
Oh, Sybil. Yes, of course. But we're really not in a city proper, so it might be difficult for you to get out and about, and I know you don't drive.
Oh, well, it seems that Algy has a lot of time on his hands, so I'm sure that he wouldn't mind driving me around.
Oh, he's a lot busier than he looks.
Well, doesn't he go out to the university every day?
Yes.
Well, perfect. He can drive me into town every day and then take me home when he returns from the university.
But his hours do vary so.
One quality that I possess, Sybil, dear, is the quality of flexibility.
Yes, Algy and I have always stressed that very same quality about you, Mummy.
Well, there you have it, and we'll be able to see each other every day.
How ideal.
Oh, yes, you can forget all about foreign travel and the like, and worrying about my safety. I'll finally settle down with my only child and be a homebody. Oh, look who's coming back. Wait until he hears the good news.
It's time for your nap, Mummy. Why don't you go into the guest room and lie down, and I'll give Algy the wonderful news.
Oh, we're so glad you're back, Reggie.
Algernon.
Oh, yes, Algy. I'm going to nap. Sybil will give you the exciting news.
The exciting news? What exciting news?
Perhaps you should sit down, Algy.
Oh, I'm fine standing.
I'm sure you'll want to sit down. Guess what?
We've won the lottery?
Mummy has decided to sell her house and come and live with us.
Oh,
Algy! 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 Are you okay?
Where am I?
You're home, dear. You're in our house.
Thank God, Sybil. I had this horrible nightmare. It was really quite frightful.
What do you want to talk about?
I don't know if I can.
Well, what was it? Sometimes talking about it helps.
Well, I was in the WC reading Gilbert, and I heard this huge rumbling sound. It was like an earthquake or a herd of stampeding dinosaurs. And this truck pulled up to our house, and an old woman about 10 feet tall got out of the truck. She had huge feet, and she wore funny shoes, the kind that clowns wear in circus. And she yelled in this deafening roar, "Everybody out! I'm in charge now!" And she began to walk toward our house, and we ran out the back door and never looked back, because if we did look back, we would turn into a pillar of jello.
Well, you're fine now, dear. Everything's okay.
Thank God.
Here, let me help you up.
Well, this dream was so frightening, Sybil. And real.
I know. Why don't you sit over here in this big comfortable chair and have a glass of brandy?
Brandy?
Yes, a glass of brandy after a dream like that is just the ticket. It soothes the mind and calms the soul.
Oh, thank you, dear. That was quite a scare.
Now I want you to lean back and relax.
I'm relaxed.
Cool.
Now what?
Close your eyes, Algy. I'm going to tell you a little bedtime story.
Whatever you say, dear.
Once upon a time, in a deep, dark, secluded forest, lived a husband and a wife who enjoyed very much the pleasures of living by themselves in a small, tidy, comfortable house they had built for themselves. Until one day...
You have just heard another episode of The Brickersons, created and written by Jim Blair, starring Kerry Lawler, Leslie Utek, and Carolyn Recker. Jim Blair was the director. Stay tuned for the new adventures of our Miss Brooks.
Good.
Colgate Dental Cream to clean your breath while you clean your teeth and help stop tooth decay. And Luster Creme Shampoo for soft, glamorous, caressable hair. Bring you Our Miss Brooks, starring Miss Carolyn Recker. It's time once again for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks, written by Al Lewis and adapted by Stephen Brown and Michael Ulstrup. Well, Tuesday marked the end of the holidays, and teachers and pupils all over the country were returning to their various halls of learning. Our Miss Brooks, who teaches English at Madison High School, was discussing her vacation with her landlady at breakfast last Tuesday.
I guess vacations are necessary sometimes, Connie. But now I suppose you're looking forward to returning to dear old Madison High with considerable enthusiasm.
Yes, indeed, Mrs. Davis, with about all the enthusiasm of a sailor returning to his dear old submarine after a two-week vacation on Bali Bali.
You'll get back into the swing of things in no time, Connie. Is Walter Denton picking you up this morning?
Yes, he is, and I hope he's on time. Our beloved principal has designated today as Board of Education Day.
Oh, what sort of ceremony is Mr. Conklin planning?
Well, Mr. Stone, the head of the board, will be there for his annual oiling, and Mr. Conklin will have the whole school lined up on the campus. Some of the students will even march past Mr. Stone carrying the flag.
Well, it can't do any harm, Connie. The board might decide to give you teachers a raise in the coming year.
Well, I hope so. And then maybe next year we'll be strong enough to carry the flag. I'll get it. I'll be right there.
I'll take the dishes into the kitchen.
All right, Mrs. Davis, and thanks for breakfast. Good morning, Walter.
It's more than that, Miss Brooks. This is the morning when the glorious gates of learning fling open anew, when the tantalizing aroma of chalk and pencil shavings beckon us all, teachers and pupils alike, to join hands and amidst the clang of bells come gaily skipping back to the black hole of Calcutta.
Why, Walter, I didn't know you had it in you, and I wish you'd put it back. You did have a nice vacation, didn't you?
Oh, sure I did, Miss Brooks. That is, up till last night. And then it was practically ruined by Mr. Conklin. He ordered me to write an editorial for the Madison Monitor on what the Board of Education means to me.
Did you write it?
Well, sure I did. But you know what a tyrant old marblehead can be when, I mean, Mr. Conklin can be when you cross him. But as a believer in freedom of press, I really gave the Board of Education both barrels.
Walter, this is a new year. Don't you think one barrel would have been enough?
Giving us Monday off after New Year's Day, and then making us go to school Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday is downright sadistic.
Well, it's better than not having Monday off, isn't it?
Well, sure. But it's not as good as having the rest of the week off, too.
Well, I'm with you there, Walter. It would be nice if they gave us February and March off. But that isn't the way the board works.
Sometimes I doubt if they work at all. But it's all in this editorial, Miss Brooks. Here, I told Mr. Conklin you proofread it and bring it into his office this morning.
Me?
Well, sure. You're faculty advisor to the school paper, aren't you? Don't be nervous about handling it to him, Miss Brooks. Just toss it on his desk.
I can only do that if you'll agree to do something for me.
Oh, what's that, Miss Brooks?
Notify my next of kin. Look, Walter, Mr. Conklin wants to start the year off with a spirit of cooperation, and you'd better destroy this literary Frankenstein.
Oh, I couldn't do that, Miss Brooks. But I'll think it over on the way to school and maybe amend some of my statements.
Fine. Now, I'll just slip on my coat, and we can get going.
Swell! My pal Stretch is waiting out in the car, and he's pretty brought down.
Stretch? Snodgrass? What's the matter with him?
Oh, you know what a great athlete Stretch is? He can pick up any sport in a second, but he can't seem to absorb much with his brain. He's afraid that during the holidays, he forgot everything he learned all term. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. The alphabet.
Go ahead, Stretch. Tell Miss Brooks what's bothering you. She might be able to help you out.
I'll certainly try, Stretch. What's your immediate problem?
Everything.
Good, as long as you've got it localized, I can help.
I mean everything at school, Miss Brooks. You see, I just got to stay eligible for basketball. But Mr. Boynton says I got to take a biology test pretty soon. And I forgot so much during our vacation. I'm afraid I'm just not no good at no biology no more.
Stretch, it is incorrect to use a double negative in a sentence. You just used four of them.
Oh, then what I said was okay, huh? Gee, I'm sure glad I didn't forget none of my English, like I forgot about my animals and biology. Gosh, I used to know my animals like I know my A-B,
I was right about the alphabet.
Yeah, I guess you were. Go on, Stretch. Tell Miss Brooks some more about the test.
Well, I think it's going to be mostly about birds and monkeys and stuff like that there.
What, where?
I got to know the names of the different kinds of baboons, which I used to know real good, but I forgot.
Well, don't worry about it, Stretch. If you want me to, I'll meet you after school and review your lessons with you.
Oh, that'd be keen, Miss Brooks. Gosh, I bet even the baboons know the names of all the other baboons.
Well, don't worry about that either. If you'll just concentrate and spend the next couple of years studying, you'll be as smart as any other baboon.
I've summoned you to my office, Miss Brooks, to inform you of the fact that at 1 o'clock, Mr. Stone is due to arrive. So promptly at 12:55, the students and faculty will line up outside between the old cannon and the flagpole.
Yes, sir.
Then, I will greet Mr. Stone and read aloud the editorial, which is to appear in the next issue of the Madison Monitor.
The editorial.
I am not finished, Miss Brooks. The editorial is called What the Board of Education Means to Me, and was written by Walter Denton. Now, as you know, I am not overly fond of young Denton, but as my daughter Harriet pointed out to me, he does get off some good editorials.
Oh, he gets off some tips. But Mr. Conklin,
he said you'd deliver this one to me after proofreading it, Miss Brooks. May I have it, please?
May you have it, please. But Mr. Conklin, I haven't got it. And neither has Walter. He told me he lost it on the way to school today.
Lost it? That's out of the question. He's just trying to delay
it. Mr. Conklin, if you're going to use an editorial as a welcoming speech, you should write it yourself.
Me?
Well, of course. You're a master of the editorial form. Why, even your interclass communications are sheer poetry.
Ooh, they are?
Well, certainly they are. You sit down right here at your desk, Mr. Conklin, and start creating.
Well, I do have a way with words, I suppose. Yes, yes. I'll draft a speech this morning and send it to you at lunchtime, Miss Brooks, for proofreading. Not that you'll find any grammatical error.
Oh, of course not.
But correct everyone you find. One more thing before you go. I'd like some exciting conclusion to the ceremony I've planned on the campus. Something that would really wind it up in a spectacular manner. Any suggestions, Miss Brooks?
Well, you say we're lining up between the cannon and the flagpole.
That is correct, Miss Brooks.
Then I think I've got just the idea for you, Mr. Conklin.
No, what is it, Miss Brooks?
Let's shoot Walter Denton out of the cannon. So, all during my morning classes, I waited for Mr. Conklin's epic essay, What the Board of Education Means to Me. But when the epic didn't arrive at noon, I decided to expose myself to a luncheon invitation from Mr. Boynton and hurried toward the biology laboratory. Just a few doorways from my goal, I was intercepted by Madison's athletic giant and mental midget, Stretch Snodgrass.
Excuse me, Miss Brooks, but could I see you for a minute?
Oh, I suppose so, Stretch. What's on your, what's new?
Mr. Conkling appointed me messenger of the day. That means I'm supposed to deliver messages.
Well, great. What does he want to see me about?
Mr. Conkling told me to deliver his Board of Education speech to you during the lunch period. That's why I stopped you just now.
Why?
I ain't got it.
I haven't got it.
Oh, I know you ain't got it. I'm supposed to give it to you.
Well, why ain't you got it?
He didn't give it to me yet.
One of us is getting nowhere in my English class. Now, if you'll excuse me, Stretch.
Oh, sure, Miss Brooks.
I just leave a speech in Mr. Boynton's lab as soon as Mr. Conklin gives it to you. I've been anticipating this luncheon date for some time.
Okay, Miss Brooks. I'm sorry I held you up.
That's all right.
I didn't mean to take up so much of your time.
It's all right, Stretch.
I didn't know you were anticipating.
So long, Stretch.
Come in. Well, it's Miss Brooks. I'll be with you in just a minute. I've been trying to correct the biology test paper. It's an essay.
Oh?
I can hardly make out the name of it. The writing is so illegible. Let's see. Could it be Snodgrass?
What's the title of the essay?
A man's best friend is his animal.
It's Snodgrass, all right.
Listen to this. Love thirds is very nice pet, as they don't never bother nobody, hardly, but is all the time busy making love. Isn't that terrible?
Well, you can't knock it to me. You mean the grammar. Yes. Yes, it is pretty bad.
Here's another paragraph. Baboons is pretty big, and the mandrill is the biggest baboon of all. They make very nice pets, and they don't never bother nobody hardly, but is all the time busy making love.
You have to change the title to An Animal's Best Friend is His Animals. You can finish that later, Mr. Boynton. Let's go to lunch, huh?
Okay. Very well, Miss Brooks. I hope we run into Walter Benton in the cafeteria. These papers have fallen out of his briefcase this morning. I'd like to return them. Seems to be an editorial for the school paper.
Oh, let's see that. What the Board of Education Means to Me by Walter Denton. I'm glad I discovered this in time. As faculty advisor to the paper, Mr. Conklin would hold me responsible for the most embarrassing incident that ever happened in Madison.
Well, what do you mean, Miss Brooks? What's in the editorial?
Just a pint or two of Walter's spleen. It's the blast of the board which I'm going to tear up right now.
Miss Brooks. Just a minute. Look what you've done. You torn up Stretch's essay along with the other one.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Mr. Boynton. What were you planning to do with it? Send it to the Congressional Library? Such deathless prose. Baboons don't never bother nobody hardly, but is all the time busy making love. What am I laughing at? It should happen to both of us.
Miss Brooks? Mr. Boynton? Huh. Guess they went to lunch. Well, I'll just leave Mr. Conklin's speech on the desk and...
Stretch. Have you heard about the ceremonies we're going to have?
Yeah, Walter. Mr. Stone's coming down, and we all got to line up and greet him.
And boy, is he going to get a greeting. I'm cooking some powder down in the chem lab that's going to put his back in the old cannon. And when Mr. Stone gets here, we'll give him a salute that'll hear till he's 90.
Gosh, do you think Mr. Conklin will like that?
He doesn't know about it yet. What's this on the desk here? Oh, what the Board of Education Means to Me. Say, I thought I lost this editorial while I was sitting here this morning.
What editorial?
This one. Gee, I'm glad I found it. Miss Brooks was right. This could get me in a lot of trouble.
But, Walter...
This thing is dynamite. I'm going to tear it up right now.
But you shouldn't. There's something I got to tell you.
In a minute, Stretch. Now, what is it, Stretch?
That wasn't your editorial you just tore up.
It wasn't?
No, it was a speech that Mr. Conklin's been sweating out all morning. Yeah, he told me to give it to Miss Brooks. But don't worry, Walter. I'm very good at jigsaw puzzles. I'll just pick the pieces out of the wastebasket and paste them together again.
I'd better help you out. Oh, with a chem lab, I've got powder cooking.
You better get back there, Walter. This will be easy for me to do, honest. You go on back and make some real good explosives. It'll liven the place up a bit.
Yeah, I guess I'd better, Stretch. But whatever you do, get that speech pasted together fast!
Okay, pal. Let's see. There's more papers in this basket than I thought. Well, here's one piece that fits to another. Oh, no, it don't either. Well, it almost fits. Oh, it'll be good enough.
Walter Denton.
Oh, yes, Miss Brooks?
Have you seen Stretch anywhere? I've looked all over the ground for him. Walter, what are you doing with that cannon?
Cannon? Oh, I'm just polishing it, Miss Brooks. Want everything to look clean and fresh when Mr. Stone gets here.
Well, he'd better not get here until Stretch shows up with Mr. Conklin's speech. I don't know what he'll do if I don't...
Ah, there you are, Miss Brooks. Have you finished checking my speech?
Not really, Mr. Conklin.
What do you mean, not really?
I haven't begun. I mean, that is, I haven't begun to enjoy anything as much as I did that speech of yours. That's just carrying it for me.
Excuse me, Miss Brooks, but here's the speech. It's right in this folder.
Nice timing, Stretch. See, Mr. Conklin, here's your speech.
No, not a minute too soon. I think this is Mr. Stone's car driving up right now. Attention, everyone. Straighten out those lines. That's right. Now, Miss Brooks, you stand on my left. I'll stand here by the cannon.
Get a little closer to the cannon, Mr. Conklin. You'll look stunning together.
Quiet, Denton. Now, remember, when Mr. Stone steps out of the car, I'll count three and we'll all salute him.
I certainly will.
Ready now? One, two...
Walter, what in the world have you put in that cannon?
It was just sort of a giant firecracker, Miss Brooks. Wasn't it keen?
Would somebody please help me up?
Oh, of course, Mr. Conklin. There you are, sir. Everything all right? There's no reason to be embarrassed. That wasn't Mr. Stone's car.
How?
I said that wasn't Mr. Stone's car.
Don't stand there flapping your lips. Say something.
He can't hear a word you're saying. He was standing so close to the cannon, it must have plugged up his ear.
Oh, no. This is terrible, Walter.
What's that? What's that? What did you just say?
We've got to get him into his office. He seems stunned.
Well, all the same, come on, gang. Three cheers for Mr. Conklin.
Yay, Mr. Conklin!
What's going on here? Why is everyone so quiet?
Poor Mr. Conklin!
Oh, gosh, Miss Brooks, you don't think Daddy's hearing will be permanently impaired, do you?
Well, of course not, Harriet. This is just a temporary condition. Shall I say, come in, Mr. Conklin?
Huh? What's that? What?
Come in.
Hiya, Miss Brooks. How's Mr. Conklin's hearing?
Very bad, Walter.
Good! We're going to shoot off the cannon again!
But Walter...
That was Denton, wasn't it? Did he have anything to do with that explosion by the cannon?
Oh, I'm sure he didn't, Daddy. I say I'm sure he didn't, Daddy!
That's right, Mr. Conklin. It just exploded. I said, it just exploded.
Well, it certainly is corroded. I don't understand what happened. That cannon hasn't been touched since the Spanish-American War. It's absolutely useless.
What do you mean, useless? We won, didn't we?
You're right. It is unusual for Mr. Stone to be so late. He's quite a busy man, though.
Gosh, Miss Brooks, do you think Daddy's hearing is getting any better at all?
Come in.
He's improving by leaps and bounds. Harriet, please go out and tell Walter to stop that racket at once.
Okay, Miss Brooks. But you'll stay with Daddy, won't you?
Oh, certainly. And don't worry about him, Harriet. He's not in any pain.
All right, Miss Brooks. See you later, Daddy.
So, Miss Brooks, when Mr. Stone does get here, I don't want him to know that there's anything wrong with my hearing or anything else. If he suspected that a cannon had been exploded on school property, he'd go back to the board in a tizzy.
Well, I understand, Mr. Conklin, and in view of your condition, I think it might be a good idea if I were to read your speech to him.
In view of my condition, it might be a good idea if you were to read my speech to him.
There's quite an echo in here.
Now, remember to read the speech slowly, Miss Brooks, and when I see your lips stop moving, I'll make some appropriate comment from time to time.
Come in. Well, it's Mr. Stone.
How do you do, Miss Brooks? Sorry I'm late. I was good. It was unavoidable.
Thank you, Mr. Stone, and a happy new year to you, too.
I beg your pardon.
Mr. Conklin's a little confused, Mr. Stone. It isn't every day that so distinguished a visitor honors our institution with a visit.
Well, that's a very gracious, Miss Brooks.
The speech, Miss Brooks, the speech.
Well, yes, sir. However, Mr. Conklin has prepared a little speech, which I will read to you now.
You? Well, why don't you read it yourself, Osgood?
Well, you see, Mr. Stone, he's so choked with emotion, he's speechless. However, I have it right here. Nice pace job. It's entitled, What the Board of Education Means to Me by Osgood Conklin. It reads, Few people realize the magnificent efficiency with which our Board of Education functions. This august body is composed of a group of able members, and these baboons grow to a height of 4 feet.
What?
Well,
every word of this comes from the bottom of my heart. Read on, Miss Brooks.
I don't know whether I should.
I insist that you do.
Oh, well. The members of the Board of Education make very nice sense, as they don't never bother nobody, but is all the time busy making love.
What is the meaning of this?
Right from the bottom of my heart.
Now, see here, Conklin. If this was some sort of a joke, I don't like it. Not one bit.
Oh, you're too kind, Mr. Stone. Hand me that last page, Miss Brooks.
But, Mr. Conklin, I would...
Give it here. To sum up, I would like to read what I have written in this last paragraph. To wit, having observed Mr. Stone's educational methods, I'm convinced that his outstanding talent is his ability to eat bananas while hanging by his tail. Believe me, Mr. Stone, these sentiments are dictated by... Eat bananas while hanging by his tail!
The man has obviously taken leave of his senses.
But, sir, if you'd let me explain...
If and when they return, this matter will be thoroughly investigated. Good day, Miss Brooks.
Miss Brooks, this isn't the speech I wrote.
I know it, Mr. Conklin, but
I hold you responsible for this entire fiasco, and believe me, Miss Brooks, you have no idea how severe your punishment is going to be.
Oh, yes, I have, Mr. Conklin.
Miss Brooks, where are you going?
Out to get some bananas. There's nothing like hanging by your tail from a flagpole to whip up an appetite. Well, even after he'd read a written confession from Walter and Stretch, Mr. Conklin still blamed me for the day's misadventures. Accordingly, he ordered me to write a brand new speech for him that same afternoon. I wouldn't have minded that so much, but it meant breaking one of my rare dates with Mr. Boynton. I was complaining about it as we walked down the hall after school.
It does sound unfair, Miss Brooks, but after all, Mr. Conklin's the boss. What can you do about it?
Well, I could go into his office and tell him off, I suppose, but that wouldn't do any good either. He can't hear a word. Wait a minute. Maybe these are the ideal conditions. A chance to say all the things I've ever wanted to say to Mr. Conklin right to his face.
Well, do you think that's wise, Miss Brooks?
Well, I don't know how wise it is, but it certainly will do my little heart good.
Excuse me, Miss Brooks. I've got to take this aspirin in to Daddy.
Oh, let me take it, Harriet. There's something I'd like to say to him.
He's still pretty upset, Miss Brooks. Maybe I'd better see him alone first.
All right, Harriet.
Here's your aspirin, Daddy, and a glass of water. See? Water? Drink?
Oh, stop gibbering, girl. I can hear you distinctly.
You can?
Yes. It happened just a moment ago. My head cleared and my hearing is perfectly normal.
Oh, wonderful, Daddy. Oh, Daddy, Miss Brooks is waiting to see you. May I send her in?
Very well.
Daddy will see you now, Miss Brooks.
Oh, goody.
See you tomorrow.
All right, Harriet.
Well, Miss Brooks?
Well, I just wanted to talk to you about my having to stay in this afternoon, you inconsiderate, maladjusted, subhuman tyrant.
What?
I've got some things to tell you that I've been saving up for years, and it's going to be great pleasure to coo them into your dainty, plugged-up ears.
Huh? How did that go again?
Of all the puffed-up, overstuffed, pompous windbags I've ever met, you take the marble cake, marble hat. Well, rather than try to talk some sense into that addle-pated, mule-brained little head of yours, I'll do the work this afternoon. Does that make you happy, you beady-eyed, old, browed, old fluffered?
Yes, Miss Brooks. That makes me very happy.
Well, good. And I just want to say, ding! You can hear.
Yes. From the moment you enter this office, you'll be pleased to know that this overstuffed windbag has absorbed your every word. You realize, of course, Miss Brooks, that any chastisement you have suffered in the past is mere child's play when compared to what's in store for you now.
What?
I will not only see to it that our local Board of Education receives a...
Oh, it must be contagious. I can't seem to hear a single word you're saying. It was over 3 hours ago that the cannon went off, and here I am, suddenly taken stone deaf. Oh, well, I guess there's no sense in worrying about it. I'll just relax and enjoy the evening.
Good
Here's our announcer to tell you more about today's show. Bye-bye, everyone.
You've been listening to a broadcast of the WGTD Radio Theater and the 91.1 Players. Armist Brooks, starring Carolyn Recker, Terry Lawler, Victoria Hyde, Kyle Farrell, Jonathan Kratzner, Jenny Tunkies, Dan Sticka, and also starring members of the 91.1 Players, Cameron Spencer, and also our technical staff, Miss Terry Steele, and also Bobby Pirtle. Support for the WGTD Radio Theater comes from the Agape Chiropractic Center in Lakeville, Illinois, the law firm of O'Connor, Dume, Aaliyah, and McTernan in Kenosha on Green Bay Road, the Westosha Veterinary Hospital located in Salem. Our narrator today was Andrew Isley. Be sure to join us on September 22nd for the next WGTD Radio Theater presentation of the original World War II women's spy thriller, Catcher in the Spy, starring Carolyn Recker, the real-life story of former Cleveland Indians player Mo Berg. For the WGTD Radio Theater, I'm Steve Brown.
So start thinking about what you'd like to hear if you're one of our younger listeners, and we'll talk about it more next week. And I want to remind you that it's always possible to send in your requests early online. Our website, WPR.org. Just scroll down the home page and you'll see the online request form. You can also send in a postcard or letter to Classics by Request, Wisconsin Public Radio, 821 University Avenue, Madison, 53706. An hour remaining of Classics by Request, right after the latest news from National Public Radio. From NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. In Afghanistan, a Taliban spokesman says the group will release two South Korean hostages shortly. NPR's Soraya Sarhadi Nelson has more from Kabul.
The spokesman says they are releasing the two women as a gift to the South Korean delegation that has been meeting with Taliban leaders in southern Ghazni province. The Taliban spokesman says the women are in poor health. But the spokesman adds the Taliban is not backing down on its demand that the Afghan government release as many as 21 militant prisoners. He says otherwise, the remaining 19 hostages will not be freed. The spokesman says the Taliban talks with the South Korean delegation are continuing. The two sides met face-to-face in the provincial capital yesterday. 23 South Koreans who belong to a church group were kidnapped last month as they traveled by bus through Ghazni province. Two of the men in the group were later shot dead by the Taliban. Soraya Sarhadi Nelson, NPR News, Kabul.
It could be several more hours before emergency crews at Utah's Crandall Canyon mine are able to use a camera to find out whether six miners who've been trapped underground for days are still alive. Mine co-owner Robert Murray expressed frustration over the pace of the mission.
The activity is at a very fast pace. The progress is way too slow for me, and I think for anyone.
President Bush sought to reassure a nation increasingly skeptical of the administration's wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. NPR's Allison Keyes has more.
Mr. Bush says Afghanistan's president is confident that his government will prevail against the remnants of the Taliban. He also says the government in Iraq is on the same path, noting that Iraqi forces are taking more responsibility for security.
Our surge is seizing the initiative from the enemy and handing it to the Iraqi people. And Iraqis are responding. Local residents are coming forward with tips that are helping U.S. and Iraqi forces rout out terrorists hiding among the population.
But the president acknowledges that the political process in Iraq has been slower than his administration hoped. Democrats used their radio address to urge passage of legislation that would guarantee troops time at home between deployments. But the president has said that would put arbitrary constraints on Pentagon commanders. Allison Keyes, NPR News, Washington.
Thousands of Republicans are in Ames, Iowa to vote for their candidate in the GOP's nomination for president. The August straw poll had been viewed as a gauge of success in the first-in-the-nation Iowa caucuses. NPR's David Green is there.
There's a real old-fashioned feel to this. I mean, it's Iowa politics, and a lot of people say this is just very Iowa. It's having the candidate close by in tents where voters can go, you know, listen to them, sometimes talk one-on-one, have access to their campaign. At the Mitt Romney tent, Mitt Romney's sons were out wandering the line, introducing themselves to voters. So it's real hands-on politics in very Iowa.
NPR's David Green. This is NPR.
The NPR shop invites you to send your kids to camp this summer in style. T-shirts, hats, and water bottles are available at